In agricultural news, early this afternoon, House lawmakers passed its version of Farm Bill 2007 by a 231-191 vote. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says there's something in the bill for everyone to like, and conversely, something for everyone to dislike, but adds, quote, it's a step in the right direction. The bill leaves in place and in some cases increases subsidies to producers of major crops like corn and soybeans. It also devotes more money to conservation, renewable energy, nutrition, and specialty crop programs than the 2002 Farm Bill. But some Democrats say it did not go far enough. In the final hours leading up to the vote, House debate became increasingly partisan. House Republicans, who previously supported the legislation, ultimately rejected the measure because of a tax on certain foreign-owned companies with U.S. subsidiaries. House Ag Committee Ranking Member Bob Goodlatte.
This rule turns that bipartisan process on its head. It has poisoned the well in terms of bringing this to fruition. It has made this farm bill, no matter its fate here today, unlikely to have any future beyond this House of Representatives.
An attempt to remit the bill back to the House Agriculture Committee to reconsider the tax failed this morning, largely along party lines, 223-198, after contentious debate. The taxes, roughly $3 billion a year, are earmarked for food stamps and other nutrition programs. In all, the five-year bill contains about $42 billion in subsidies to producers. Critics say they will renew their efforts for reform when the Senate Agriculture Committee marks up its version of the Farm Bill in mid-September.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. This week, an amendment to the 2007 House of Representatives version of the Farm Bill introduced by Ron Kind of Wisconsin was defeated. It would have eliminated farm subsidies to producers making more than $250,000 a year and the direct payments and relied more heavily on revenue assurance programs. I talked with U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois about the Kind Amendment and its defeat. He says he was disappointed.
Ron Kind spent a lot of time putting together what I think was a reasonable alternative to the traditional farm bill. That farm bill and its approach has been changed over the years from the time that Franklin Roosevelt said it's time for the federal government to step up and make sure the farmers can survive from year to year. It got very complicated and convoluted as we tried to come up with ways to help farmers through price. And, of course, price doesn't always tell the story. And this program, this farm program, I think is in need of real reform.
Yeah, and you have put forth some reform in the terms of revenue assurance. How different is it than what farmers are used to with the crop insurance, federal crop insurance programs that they signed up for instance, this past spring?
I think it's more reasonable, and I think it's more easily understood. You know, when you look back on loans and price supports and target prices and all the things that we've done over the years, you really had to be not just a farmer, but a pretty skillful accountant to figure out how to make this work so that you could survive with a federal program. Well, what I've done with Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio is to come up with a much more straightforward approach. We really take a look at a farm operation on a state basis and say, you know, what is the reasonable revenue expectation of that farming operation? We say to the farmer, you've got to buy some crop insurance to cover yourself. But the federal government will step in if something really unexpected occurs. If the bottom drops out in terms of price, if you run into a drought or a flood, we'll be there so that we don't have these lurches from 2 years to 3 years with big disaster bills to try to make up the difference, but rather build into the farm program an approach that will help the farmers through a difficult year. The bottom line is we want a farmer to be able to survive. One bad year shouldn't put you out of business.
At what level of protection are we discussing? And I guess I read a 90% figure in your press release,
right,
but I wasn't sure that was the right figure.
That is. And really we understand that, you know, there is a margin of profit and a margin of disappointment here when it comes to farming. But we try to keep what we consider to be a reasonable revenue stream protected, and that's 90% of the anticipated revenue. I think that's a more sensible approach. Unfortunately, that was offered in the House and rejected pretty soundly. And the reason, of course, is that there are many crops, cotton and rice come to mind immediately, that receive substantial and massive federal subsidies. And for a handful of producers, we really put a lot of money on the table. Well, they managed to rally their forces and to provide a farm bill that had a lot of very attractive elements to it, and they overcame the revenue approach in the House. Now we're going to bring the debate up in the Senate this fall.
The 90% would be figured like the current crop insurance, so it would be the month of February for corn is
Calculation that's based on you know, the state averages and expectation based on history and a farming operation. So we try to make it as real as possible and zero in you know, on each state to figure out what the revenue goals are going to be. You know, if you take a look at crop insurance, it's been a hit and miss operation in the past, and I think what we need to do is to integrate crop insurance into every farming operation. A farmer, just as a person owning a home or an automobile, needs to take personal responsibility to protect themselves in bad times. They shouldn't anticipate that there's going to be a disaster bill that's going to rush to their rescue. And so we try to build this whole approach of revenue protection on crop insurance as well.
All right. And then tell me how the private insurance will be put into the mix.
Well, what we're doing is to make sure that there's a level of insurance and protection on each farming operation. And so that they really have covered their own risk with this crop insurance investment. And I think that's a reasonable thing to do. But we understand that that crop insurance is never going to quite cover it all. And many farmers say, you know, even if the crop insurance pays off in a bad year, I may not be able to survive to next year. So that's where this program, this revenue program, steps in. Takes a look at the difference between expected revenue, crop insurance payoffs, and makes up that difference to 90%.
So no countercyclical payments, no loan deficiency payments, just the revenue assurance.
That's right.
And
the interesting thing I might add is that it has the support of National Corn Growers. This is a big operation, as you might imagine, in Iowa and Illinois and the Midwest. And it's a crop that historically has relied on federal programs. Now, the good news is that corn prices are up with ethanol expansion and production. There's more and more demand and likely more to follow. And so what we're trying to do is be reasonable, not to step in line and say, well, we still want a federal payment. Nope, the corn growers have said, you know, this is a good time, and we're willing to take that into consideration. And so we shouldn't base everything on price.
And then where do you stand on payment limitations? I know this wasn't taken up here.
I support payment limitations. You know, some of the embarrassing things that have come out recently in the news are reminders that we need to tighten up this program. You can't expect taxpayers living in urban areas to look the other way when we have reports that farm payments are being made to people who are long ago deceased and long ago out of farming. They expect the farm programs to be there for family farmers, local farmers, and people who are trying to make a living in a vulnerable occupation. But when it becomes a kind of a backstop for big investment, then I think people are rightly critical. So I'm in favor of payment limitations, and the numbers that we received from the administration was $200,000 in annual farm income. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa and I have had a proposal in the past to make it $250,000. I think those are reasonable numbers.
And finally, Senator, I know the House is debating Farm Bill this week. Senate will take it up in September?
I assume that by early September, as we return from the break, Tom Harkin of Iowa will be reporting the bill from the Senate Agriculture Committee. And then I think that in the month of September or early October, we'll start our debate. I want to make sure this is done and done on a quick basis because there's a lot of uncertainty there. I don't like the idea of Congress sputtering, failing, and then renewing the old farm bill. That's thrown in the towel as far as I'm concerned.
That was the senior senator from Illinois, Dick Durbin. By the way, unlike the Kind Amendment, which the House defeated this week, the Durbin-Brown Amendment to the Senate version of the Farm Bill would not eliminate direct payments to producers. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.